Good morning. Audio okay? Okay, great. My name is Cindy Bosch. I work at a parish in La Jolla, California. I don't know if we have any of our people here. Monica is here from San Diego Diocese. And it has been my privilege to have the friendship and the acquaintance and the as a colleague, Lisa Anslinger, for a very, very long time. So, her bio you can certainly read. I hope you enjoyed your first session, and if you had a good time last night, this might be your first session. So rest assured, you are in wonderful hands. Release any preconceived notion you have. You are here to take that deep dive into who you are as a steward and what you are called to, and to bring that back in the true spirit of engagement and involvement under the guise of the Holy Spirit. If you're a catechist in the room, you'll be in great hands with Lisa. If you're a liturgist in the room, you will be in excellent hands with Lisa. If you're an author, an educator, a presenter of material, a parish layperson, a parish staffer, or a diocesan staffer, because Lisa has held all those titles and many, many more. So to not keep you and to put you in that place, let's just do a little hospitality. If you're comfortable moving in your aisle so people who are coming late can grab that end seat and not disturb you or anyone else, just a little hospitality on our part. Okay. By this evening, you will have this conference prayer memorized. But for now, it's on your app, and it's in your paperwork. So I'll be joining Lisa, and we will be praying with you in one moment.
Well, good morning, everyone. It is so good to be here with you today. I have to say, I've been looking forward to this conversation in a very special way because I think this topic is so vital to who we are as stewards and how we might help our communities, our parishes, and our dioceses grow as communities of good stewards. And so as we begin, I'd like to get to know you just very quickly through one particular question. How many of you are familiar with Clifton Strengths, what used to be called Strengths Finder? Okay, there are a few of you. Wonderful. How many of you have been introduced to talent awareness through a different kind of instrument or a different kind of process? Okay, awesome. I'm wondering how many of you are in parishes or in dioceses that have a particular way of leading people to discern and to steward their talents. Okay. All right. We've got some things to talk about this morning. I want to let you know up front, some of what I'm saying this morning is really rooted in the work of Dr. Don Clifton and the instrument that we know as Clifton Strengths or Strengths Finder. And I am going to be referring to that a few times. I'm also going to be using some of the research that's been done by the Fuller Youth Institute about communities that effectively engage young people and their families and the connections that I see with that work and stewardship, and particularly stewardship of talents. So some of what I'm going to be saying is rooted in all of that. I also want to let you know that at the end of our time together, I'm going to give you a website where you can go and get not only the slide PDF that's on the Whova app, but some other helpful links and resources. And if in fact you have to slip out before we finish, just know that go to gratefuldisciples.net. That's my website. And there are just tons of resources there for you. So, because I know that sometimes we have to slip out to the restroom or answer an important call or whatever. Also wanted to let you know that I'm actually hanging out at the ICSC booth downstairs in the exhibit hall in between. And so if you want to have a conversation at any point throughout the conference, you can find me there in between sessions. So with all of that sort of stuff behind us now, I think it's really important for us, first of all, to think about why. Why is this topic of talent so important? And what difference might it make to be able to help each other and our people to recognize and to steward our talents more deeply? And for me, this truly is rooted in stewardship as an expression of discipleship that helps us to understand and live out our lives. That's directly from the bishop's pastoral letter on stewardship. And for me, in my own personal life, stewardship came to life differently once I could point to talents that had been within me all of my life, but that I really couldn't name and couldn't use well until I was in my 40s. And I'll just say this out loud. I'm in my 60s now, right? But it was a journey. And being able to say, these are the talents that God has entrusted to me that I am called to steward well, changed my life. It changed the life of my family. It changed the life of the parish in which I served. And that's why I think it's so important and so marvelous that we're here together today. Because I think the reality is sometimes that phrase, time, talent, treasure, just isn't enough. As a parish stewardship leader, what I heard from people for a long time was, I understand the need to steward my time. Time's precious. And I get that, right? As we grow as stewards, we begin to see that every moment of every day is a gift. People would say, I understand the need to be a good steward of my treasure. I get that. But people had a really hard time with understanding talent. And part of that is people don't always know what their talents are. Or they don't always know how their talents play out in different aspects of their lives. So people would say, well, so is what I do at work, is that my talent? And what does that have to do with stewardship? Or is what I do at home, are there talents involved in that? And for a lot of people, unfortunately, we've grown up sort of with the idea that, well, I don't really have any special talents. Let me tell you, each of us does. Each of us not only has talents, but we have differing gifts, as we hear in sacred scripture, right? Each of us has something that only we can do. Each of us is uniquely created in God's image. Each of us is called to be that image in the world. And we're best going to do that by stewarding the talents, the strengths, the gifts that God has entrusted to us. And when we do this, when we finally get to that point where we say, these are the particular gifts that have been entrusted to me, we begin to see God's grace differently in our lives. And in our communities, we find the grace of God coming to life differently as our people come to that awareness and really sort of rise to the occasion of being responsible stewards of those many and differing gifts. I believe that helping people to discover, to discern their talents, and then to really discern how they're being called to live out those talents, that is one of the greatest privileges that we can have as stewardship leaders. Because it's a way for us to help our people to discern vocation in its biggest sense, but also those calls within the call. People often ask me, what's the difference between knowing our talents and knowing our spiritual gifts? And are they in competition with one another? No, they are not. Not at all. And so in many areas, people do a spiritual gifts discernment. And when we do that, we begin to understand how or what God is calling us to. When we know what our talents are, we know how we are going to fulfill that call. My favorite example of that is my friend Stephanie Moore, who some of you have met. Stephanie and her pastor both have the spiritual gift of teaching. But Father Jeff has this mind that takes in information and processes it and holds the details. And so every homily is filled with those sorts of insights into sacred scripture, the word of God, and then leads people to reflect on that deeply. Stephanie has a lot of relationship building talents. They teach very differently, but they both teach. And that's the way in which we can begin to think about this. Accompanying one another is a grace-filled, sacred way of life that happens best in community. Because we may help each other not only to recognize the talents, but to begin to grasp how we might give those talents, share those talents, as we care for others, as we teach, as we share Christ's presence in service and in ministry. I really do believe that so much of this is about establishing a culture in which we value one another as God values each of us. And so with all of that sort of as introduction and preamble, I'm going to invite you to turn to one other person. And here's the thing, we're going to have to do this quickly. So when I say it's time to come back, it's time to come back. But I think if each of you take just a couple of minutes and think about two experiences in your life, maybe recent, maybe way back there, that made a difference for you in some particular way. When was a time when you faced a task or a challenge and you just didn't feel equipped? Yeah, we've all had those moments, right? Where you go, I have no idea. I just don't know what to do. And then, when was a time when you faced a task or a challenge and you knew exactly what was needed? And you did it. Talk about those two experiences with one another. Each of you gets 2 minutes. That means in 4 minutes we're coming back. Okay? I'm going to call you back. But have a quick conversation with each other about this.
I'm still doing it. Yeah, when I send that to you, that's me. I mean, I have. I send her tons of content. She roughs out good copy. Because it would be 30 pages if I really wrote it right. And then we send it to a designer just to lay it out.
I momentarily lost connection. I thought, oh, please, God. Well, and I can always... I just don't want to stand behind the podium. Okay, you've got 30 seconds. Okay, let's come back. Here we go. Oh my gosh, thank you. You guys are good. So, just call out, and I'm going to repeat so that others can hear and for the sake of the recording. What's it like to face a task or a challenge and feel like you aren't equipped? Overwhelming, frustrating, scary, risky, vulnerable, fear, failure, fear of failure. I'll finish that question, that sentence, right? What's it like to face a task or a challenge and know you've got exactly what's needed? Confidence. It's fascinating. Every time I do this exercise, confidence comes up, right? What else? Excitement, peace, life-giving. Do you hear the difference? We know this. We know it in our own experience. We know it in our own hearts. So here's what I'd like to share from the research around Clifton Strengths. What the folks that became Gallup, it wasn't a thing related to Gallup originally, but what Don Clifton and his group did when they first began to study talent, what they found was there were no particular talents that were the best for any given role. What they found was that when people knew what their talents were and were able to use their talents regularly, they thrived in all aspects of their lives. And so the folks at Gallup began to really study what is a talent. And how do we know what our talents are? And how do we discern how we might use our talents? And the way that they define talent is very different than the way we would normally use the word. When we use the word talent, we often think about artistic talent or athletic talent or talent in business, right? That's the way we very often use the word talent. But what they say is that a talent is a natural recurring pattern of thinking, feeling or behaving that can be productively applied. Let me say that again, because this is really important. These are things that we are born with. They're natural ways of thinking, feeling, or behaving. And what the research actually says is that our talents most especially emerge between ages 3 and 12 or 13. In those maturing years, our talents are coming to life within us in very wonderful ways. And that's one of the reasons why, if you have teens in your parish that are going through maybe confirmation prep, or maybe you have high school ministry and you're really looking for a way to engage with young people in a meaningful way, introduce them to their talents. It's golden. There's nothing like it. My son was a junior in college when I first discovered Clifton Strengths, and he did the inventory, the Clifton Strengths inventory, and it helped him figure out not only what he was going to do with his life, which changed quite often in that next 10 years, as it does very often for young adults, but it was more about how he was going to be in the world that came clear for Mike. Carrie actually discovered her career through discovering her talents. It's an amazing thing that we can give, an amazing gift that we can give to our people. It's really discovering what has been there all along. I believe that when we begin to help one another to discern and discover our gifts, our talents, it operates in four different ways, in four different dimensions. There's a personal dimension to this, and we're going to keep coming back to this throughout this time together, because once you begin to be able to name your own talents, not only does it change the way in which you live and move in the world, but it also changes the way in which you think about how you might lead and serve in your home communities. There's an interpersonal dimension to this. Knowing what my husband's talents are changed our marriage. We are a much stronger married couple now than we were prior to discovering our talents. And I have to say, some of those things that got on my last nerve about my husband, I'm not making this up, turned out to be his talents. My husband has a talent called consistency, which means he likes to have structure. He likes to have boundaries, which actually is very handy since he was a structural engineer. But it also meant that in our home life, rules are really important. And it's not that I don't believe in rules. I do. But it's not my go-to way of interacting with the world. And Steve, when our son became a teenager, Steve actually said, I think you need to be the first line of discipline. Because Steve knew in his heart that he sees life in a very black and white kind of way. Once we discovered our talents, then all that made so much more sense, right? There is a communal dimension to this. When we live in community with one another, and we see each other through the lens of talent, it changes the way in which we invite people into ministry. It changes the way in which we might interact with new parishioners. It changes the way we might handle conflict among parishioners. Because again, many of those times where we say, I just don't understand this person. If we can flip that question and say, what's the talent that's happening here? What's the gift of this? All of a sudden, the dynamics change. There's a ministerial dimension to this. Because once we begin to see one another's talents, we can build complementary partnerships so that every person has the opportunity to contribute with meaning. So the strengths research, the talent research, really helps us to understand what we recognized in those conversations just a minute ago, that we're at our best when we do what we do best. Now, that doesn't sound all that surprising, but yet it is in practice. Weakness fixing, at best, prevents failure. When Dr. Clifton and his team went all over the world asking people questions about talent, what they found all over the world was that many of us say, give me my weaknesses. And surely, with enough time and effort and determination, I can take that thing that's frustrating and makes me fearful, and I can make a strength out of that. It doesn't work that way. And so when we meet those situations where we feel like we're not equipped, and we're all going to have those moments, right? Because we're all different with differing gifts. When we have that moment where we say, I don't have it, we have one of two choices to make. We can either tap into a talent that we do have, or we can partner with someone who has talents that are different than our own. Think about the difference in ministry in your parish if you began to see that working its way through all of the various layers of ministry and leadership in your parish or your diocese. If I'll give you a real quick example of this. A few years ago, Father Jan Schmidt's back here. Father Jan was my pastor at a parish. We had brought strengths to the parish. Father Jan later moved to a position within the archdiocese, and he asked me to come introduce StrengthsFinder to the diocesan staff. And so I had done that. So everybody knew that this is kind of the lens through which I look at the world. And then a few years later, Father Jan invited me to join staff. The very first meeting that I went to as a brand new diocesan staff person, I was in this group of about 15. We were planning a major event in the Archdiocese that was 6 months later. And someone at the table said, we all need to divvy up the list of priests, and we need to make phone calls and invite them personally to come. And everybody at the table shook their head, except me. And I said to these people who really didn't know me, and I'm the newbie at the table, I said, okay, guys, you know that I work with strengths a lot, yes? I said, I will tell you, I am the world's worst inviter. I'm the one that talks somebody out of it while I'm inviting them to do it. I know you really don't have time. I know this is going to be really hard, but we really need, right? That's me. So if you really want those priests to come, you need somebody else to invite them. But I'll do something different. I'll pick up the slack somewhere else. And everybody at the table sat there and looked for a second, and then one person at the table went, you know what? Maybe that's the better approach. Maybe we should instead say, what does each of us do well? What do we like to do? It changed everything. In that 5 minutes, the work of that group for the next 6 months changed. Now, I have to say, I probably took on one of the harder tasks because I ended up coordinating the volunteers for this conference, right? But that I can do, because I know how to arrange all kinds of pieces and make it work together. We're at our best when we do what we do best. Some questions that help us to recognize our talents. When do you lose track of time? What comes naturally to you? When do you find yourself saying, God, when do I get to do that again? There's a talent working there. What energizes you? And that's not to say that we don't take on things that are difficult. We do. But it makes a difference when we use our talents in the way in which we approach those questions. I love this from Kurt Liesfeld, who was one of the trainers for strengths that I learned the most from. He says, you cannot be anything you want to be, but you can be a whole lot more of who you already are. Isn't that great? You can't be anything you want to be, but you can be a whole lot more of who you already are. And what the talent research shows us is those who know and use their talents, those who are good stewards of their talents, experience a greater sense of purpose, fulfillment, less stress, less burnout, more competence, resilience, well-being, more engagement within the community. The research around talent, for those of you who are in schools, the research around talent and student well-being and achievement is stunning. And there are a lot of resources out there specifically for educators. In faith communities, what the research shows is that the phrase that the folks at Gallup use is belonging leads to believing. When people have that deep rootedness in the community as a place where we value one another as children of God, we invite one another to know and to be good stewards of our many gifts. Those people are dramatically more likely to invite, to serve, to give. They have a deeper sense of life satisfaction. And talent awareness is like the hyperdrive of all of that. So much so that people who know and steward their talents within their parishes are 38 times as likely to be engaged as those who are negative or absent. That's huge. Think about the difference, even if 20% of your people made that leap into that kind of life within your community. What a difference that could be. But there's more. I told you that I want to share with you some insights into engaging young people and their families. There's a wonderful study by Fuller Youth Institute called Growing Young. Some of you have heard me talk about this before. And the Growing Young communities, those are communities that are engaging young people and their families in ways that not only influence those teens and young adults, but also has a dramatic impact on the parish itself. What they found is that those parishes that engage young people have more service, more passion, more innovation, more healthy financial giving, and greater overall health. Don't we all want that? And this is the interesting part. They say that those parishes lead young people and their families to participate in meaningful ways in leadership. They have empathy for the young people, and they build warm communities. So let's think about that for a second, especially that thing about having empathy. The folks at Fuller go on to say there are three questions that teens and young adults are constantly asking. I would say as a counselor, my background's in counseling, these are questions that we're all asking. They're certainly heightened in our teen years, in our young adult years, but those of us in our 60s are still asking these questions in one way or another. Who am I? That's about identity. That's about our view of ourselves. Where do I fit? That's about belonging and our connection with others. What difference can I make? That's about purpose. That's about our contribution to the world. Just think about that for just a second. If we are cultivating a culture within our parishes, within our dioceses, in which people have a deep awareness of their talents and are constantly invited to discern and to give those talents in ministry, in service, in life. Who am I? I'm a valued child of God who has been entrusted with incredible gifts. Where do I fit? You belong with us. You belong to Christ. What difference can I make? There is something that only you can do in this world. Those of us who have done the Clifton Strengths inventory know that what the research shows is that your chance of meeting someone in your lifetime with exactly the same talents in exactly the same sort of order is about 1 in 33 million. Each of us has something that only we can do. And so part of our role, our responsibility in our parishes, in our dioceses, is to establish a vision of the parish as a community of disciples who are living and growing as good stewards. And that happens differently when we are aware of our talents and when we find ways to invite one another to contribute with meaning. In the words of St. Francis de Sales, be who you are and be that perfectly well. I love that. That's a stewardship message. Be who you are and be that perfectly well. So, what are we going to do about all of this? I think there are a few things that I can point to that are wonderful first or next steps. Some of you can have already done Clifton Strengths. Anybody can go, if you just do, and I've got the link on the website, but if you just do it, an internet search for Clifton Strengths, you'll find the information to take the inventory. It takes about 45 minutes. You purchase a code, and then you're given a personal link. And what the folks that did the research did was they originally went out all over the world just identifying talent. And they identified 400-something talents that people possess in one degree or another. But that didn't seem dreadfully practical. What if you were given a list of, say, 5 out of 425? How wonderful would that be? And so what they did was they took that 400-something talents and they grouped them into themes of talent. And then they did more research around that. And they ended up with 34 themes of talent. And so you buy a code, and then you're given a list of your top 5 themes of talent. And it is eye-opening. My number one theme of talent is ideation. I'm always the person that has a good idea. It doesn't always mean it's... Actually, I always have an idea. It doesn't always mean it's a good idea. And in fact, it was very interesting. When we first did strengths at our parish, there was a staff person that I really struggled with. And I came back from my first training, and she said, how was it? And I said, it was really good. And she said, you don't sound all that convinced. I said, well, no, I am. And I had my theme list at my desk. And I said, but, you know, I'm still really kind of struggling with that ideation thing. It just doesn't seem practical. And Lori said to me, Lisa, you know that the running joke around here is, oh, God, here comes Lisa with another one of her grand ideas. But it changed everything because all of a sudden those same people could come to me and say, here's what happened at the meeting last night. What ideas do you have? They weren't asking me to be part of the solution. They were just letting me ideate. What a glorious thing. And sometimes I was part of the solution. But what a difference that made for me. So some of you may, as a next step, take the Clifton Strengths inventory. And if you do, I've got a link to a resource that can help you to really process through that. Some of you may already be familiar with strengths, and you might decide to take it back and do it as a staff or as a stewardship committee or with your pastoral council or some other group within your parish. And then begin to think about how do we build those complementary partnerships with one another? What difference might that make? My friend Stephanie has actually written a book that she calls The Gifted Journey. And it can work with or without Clifton Strengths. So if you really want to spend some time reflecting on your own life, on your own lived experience, The Gifted Journey might be a place for you. And I've got the link on the site, but it's available on Amazon. So you can just go to Amazon and find The Gifted Journey. Most parishes or dioceses that begin to introduce strengths, whether it's with a staff or with a council or a committee, will do so in a retreat setting. Because then we can place this all in the context of prayer, in the context of our relationship with God and with one another. Small groups are fabulous for really having some of those deep conversations around our talents and how we might use them, how we might steward them well. Parish meetings. Once people are aware of their talents, they just naturally want to apply them, to use them well. When we introduce talent awareness in our parish, the first year, we had 1,200 people do the inventory, mostly in small groups. We were not prepared. We actually said, this is not another fancy way to come get you. Almost to a person, people said, now what do I do with it? Because they knew that this was a gift that they couldn't hold under that bushel basket, that they had to use as a good steward. So I think there are a few things that we can do with or without a formal process. And the first of those is to be attentive. Look for talent in yourself and in others. And if you recognize that talent in yourself, grow in a willingness, in a readiness to name that and to use it well. Many of us, especially people in my generation, were taught a very false sense of humility. And I think that's one of the hardest things about stewardship of talent. Because to be a good steward of our talents, we have to be able to say, this is a gift that God has given me. And then I'm going to find a way to use that in all of the aspects of my life. My mother used to say, Lisa, don't toot your own horn. And so I had to learn to say at that meeting, okay, if you really want those people to come, don't ask me to invite. Ask me to do something different. And that feels a little bit risky at first. Secondly, be welcoming. There is a dramatic difference when we invite personally. Those of us that have been around a long time know that. There's an even more dramatic difference when we invite by way of talent. When we can say, Cindy, I know you have communication talent. Would you be willing to help us promote the social that's coming up? Cindy's much more likely to say yes to that than to hear an announcement at the end of Mass saying, we really need somebody to, no, right? It's a dramatic difference. We need to be genuine. We each have something that only we can give. And that means that we have to be ready to build those complementary partnerships with one another so that we have that experience and we can invite others into that as well. We need to align ministries with talent, which means we may, instead of just saying everybody join every ministry and we'll just kind of let it work itself out, we may rather begin to invite people to really think about the talents and gifts that God has given them and then invite them to discern what ministries they might be called to. I think it really is about moving from that idea of having a slot to fill, we've all been there, to being called to give. One of the things that I've got ready for you on the website is a guided conversation template that I created a number of years ago that I simply call Finding a Good Fit. That is a conversation that you can have one-on-one or in a small group with people to help them to discern what ministries might be a good fit with the talents that they have been entrusted with. And then build talent-based teams and complementary partnerships. I've got another conversation for you all to have, but I want to ask first, what questions do you have? What are you thinking about or wondering about?
Yes.
Okay, start with one. Yes, 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 yes. Let me say that out loud so that we get it for the recording and for those of you in the back of the room. Do we ever encounter people who absolutely delight in something that they're bad at? Yes. And so, and honestly, that was one of the reasons why we first moved toward StrengthsFinder when we did, because we had done some spiritual gifts discernment and we had people that had discerned gifts, but they didn't know how to enact those well. And so we were really struggling with that. It's one of the gifts of having this objective resource that helps us to name our talents differently. We also instituted in our parish a policy that said people served terms, and at the end of the term, we would discern together whether it was appropriate for them to continue in that role or move to something different. That makes a really big difference. Because when you say to somebody, you know, this really just isn't working out, that's a really painful thing, right? But if you say, I wonder if this ministry might need your gifts more, that's a whole different thing. So yeah, it's one of those most challenging things I think of being a stewardship leader is having those tough conversations. Knowing what the person's talents are can make all the difference in the world. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do. There's a Cindy said I'm an author. I love to write. And so what I did was I wrote a workbook with Stephanie that leads you through the whole process of bringing talent awareness to the parish. And it's in PDF format and it's on a website. And so I'll get you all that information. Basically what we did was we started with leaders and we also started with people that we knew would just naturally be excited about this. And so we did Clifton Strengths with them first, and we actually asked them to discern with us, what might we do? How might we bring this to the parish? And then when we felt like we were ready, then we launched it during Lent as a Lenten small group process. At the same time, we incorporated it into our confirmation preparation, and we also offered it to our engaged couples. Yeah. We eventually had parishioners that said they wanted to start a job ministry. And they incorporated strengths into the process of helping people who were either unemployed or underemployed or were discerning a new career, midlife, or whatever. We also had people that incorporated strengths into a group of men who were dads who started a father's ministry. And Father's Ministry met at 6:02 on Friday morning because 6 o'clock would be just too darn early. And they've done multiple rounds of strengths because they said, we want to be dads who know what our talents are and who can bring out the talents of our children. So it found its way into all kinds of corners. What I find happens most often is it starts with staff groups or stewardship committees. And sometimes it just stays there. Sometimes it's a way to build a really strong team, and then we might introduce it to our spouses or our children or whatever individually. If you can make that leap into other parish groups, that's when it can really have lasting impact. Other questions, other wonders? Yes.
I went through this some time ago as a person who was in charge of a campus at the State University of New York. And Barb and Betty, through this process, stopped hating each other, stopped competing with each other. I don't know that they, you know, are Trelaw friends or anything like that, but it certainly helped me as the dean to get those two better organized so that we could do the job that we're supposed to be doing. I endorse this 100%.
Thank you so much for sharing. And that was actually my experience as well. There was one of our secretaries would just constantly say to me things like, well, Lisa, we already did that like 3 years ago and it didn't work. And I don't know why you want to do it now. Well, it turned out she had consistency in her top five. And once I knew that, then I was able to say, here's what's happened in those 3 years. And this is why it's different this time around. And then she'd go, oh my gosh, that makes all the sense in the world, right? But it changed the way in which we interacted with each other. And because of that, we served our parish better. Yeah. By the way, those of you who are our priests and are wondering about how might this impact the life of our parish, Father Jan said he's very willing to talk with you all after the workshop because he's very passionate about this process still. So here's what I'd like to invite you to do. I want you to have one more conversation. And again, we're going to take about 4 minutes for this little conversation. But I want to ask you to think about this. What is one thing you naturally do well? And how might you do more of that as a good steward of your talents? And then what's one step that you will take to enhance talent discernment and stewardship in your parish or diocese? So again, there's a personal dimension to this, and then there's a communal dimension. And I'd like to invite you just to think about both of those things together. So we're going to take 4 minutes for that conversation. I'm going to call you back. I'm going to make sure that you get that follow-up link so that you know where to get all of this information, and then we're going to send ourselves forth. But have a conversation next. Okay, you got 30 seconds. All right, we're going to come back. See what happens when we start talking talent? Manny says we start talking. I just want to make sure that you know where you can get more information that's going to help with all of this. GratefulDisciples.net, there is a tab that says resources. And when you tab down on that, there's a thing that says conference materials, and I've got a whole bunch of links and documents right there. One of the links is to the Catholic Strengths and Engagement Community, CSEC for short. Catholic Strengths and Engagement Community, there's a link on the website on this page for that. CSEC is a nonprofit that some colleagues and I started about 15 years ago now to help parish and diocesan leaders to build engaged communities of good stewards, and specifically to build communities of engaged stewards of their talents. On the CSEC website is that workbook that I talked about, that Stephanie and I wrote together about bringing out talent awareness in faith communities. There's a contact button on the website. That's how you get in touch with me. All of that comes directly to me. Please email me. If we need to jump on the phone, we can. I do lots of emails at odd hours of the day and night, so just know that if you've got any questions, and like I said, you can find me at the ICSC booth. The other thing that I want you to know that's on this website is a whole tab of complimentary resources. I've got a whole bunch of bulletin flyers and things like that, that you can use in whatever way you might find helpful. There's one specifically on there about being a good steward of talent. And it's available in English and Spanish. And again, if you can't find it, just email me and I'll email it to you directly. Okay? We are out of time. I think Cindy may have just a couple of closing. Do you have closing instructions or are we done?
Leadership. Thank you, everybody, at the luncheon, and see what the general questions are about the app. Some people are wondering how they do evaluations on the app, Wi-Fi, why can't we get it outside of our rooms? So please come. You'll enjoy the food, but you might get some of the questions answered in community. So thank you, Lisa.